Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. On today's broadcast, we continue our very enlightening series on the Feasts of the Lord, or as they are also known as, the Seven Feasts of Israel, given in Leviticus 23. Today we begin to look at the feasts of all biblical feasts, the feast of all biblical feasts, the feast of Passover. And the Lord told the children of Israel in Leviticus 23:5, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Notice, this Passover is the Lord's, to be given to the nation of Israel, that they might find redemption and liberation from enslavement in Egypt. So the Lord just gives a very succinct statement stating that His Passover was to be celebrated on the 14th day of Nisan. Then you go to Exodus 12 and you have a detailed instruction on how the Passover is to be celebrated. Exodus 12. So we will be looking at Exodus 12 in conjunction with Leviticus 23 as we study this most important feast, the Feast of Passover. Passover really is the crown jewel of the biblical Jewish feasts. It was the first one God gave Moses on Mount Sinai after the Exodus. Celebrated every year now for 35 centuries, that's some 3,500 years, Passover has beautifully come down to us virtually unchanged and teaches us a great deal about the Messiah. Passover is far and away the world's oldest festival. Nations, civilizations, and religions have come and gone, faded from history, become extinct. But the Jews and Passover still remain. From the patriarchs to Moses, there was a 400-year period of silence. That silence was broken with a sudden blood sacrifice, the Passover lamb of Egypt that emancipated an entire nation in a single night. Then after that, the conquest of the promised land came by Joshua's armies. Afterwards, the judges ruled, prophets preached, and the kings reigned in Israel and Judah. Then there was another 400-year period of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Then another great sacrifice came with the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist, his forerunner, said of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Whichever testament we read, old or new, we can say the blood of the Lamb delivers us from bondage. So large was the Passover celebration in the Jerusalem of Jesus' day that Josephus, a Jewish historian living at that time, tells us that over 256,000 lambs were slain in the temple on Passover day. With the lowest computation of one lamb for 10 people, as was allowed at the time, there was no less than 2.5 million people in Jerusalem offering their Passover lambs in the temple. The Passover lamb is a clear and obvious type pointing to the Messiah as the sacrificial lamb who died for the sins of Israel and the world. What is a type? What do we mean by that term? Well, a type in the Bible is a divinely ordained correspondence between a person, event, or institution. The antitype is the fulfillment of that type and is always greater than the type itself. The Passover lamb is therefore a type pointing to the crucified Messiah. The Passover lamb of the Exodus not only points ahead to Jesus, our Passover lamb slain for us, but also points back into eternity past, to the fact of God's plan of redemption before the world began, that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would be slain for humanity's sin. The sacrifice of Jesus the Messiah on the cross was not a forethought after the fall of man and sin came into the world. No, it was planned even before the creation of man in eternity past by God, who designated His Son to come to this earth and die for our redemption. Just as Revelation 3:18 says, Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Why study the Passover celebration, you may ask? And this is a question, unfortunately, that reverberates throughout Christendom and our churches. A question that belies a disinterest and ignorance of the importance of studying the feast of the Lord, beginning with Passover. So why study these feasts, they may ask? Well, for several reasons. First, because the Lord Jesus celebrated Passover on His last earthly night. Remember what He told the disciples. He said in Luke 22:15, "With fervent desire I have wanted to celebrate this Passover with you before I suffer." So this is what the Lord Jesus did. He celebrated Passover on the eve of His crucifixion. And from that Passover He celebrated, He instituted from it what we call the Lord's Supper or Communion. Another reason, secondly, I should say we should study Passover, is that Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." Particularly with reference to the cup and bread from which elements we partake when celebrating the Lord's Supper. The cup that Jesus took and said, "This is My blood," or "This represents My blood," was the third cup in the Passover meal. The cup of redemption. And how appropriate that the Redeemer would take that cup during the Passover meal to say, "This is the cup which represents the new covenant, which I will ratify by My shed blood." And of course, the bread would be the Passover matzah that He took and broke and said, "This represents My body." So when Jesus celebrated Passover and when He used the wine and the bread, elements from Passover, He used these things to command us to celebrate the Lord's Supper, Communion, and the Eucharist. It came from Passover. A third reason why we should study Passover is that when the Lord put down His cup, He said, "I'll not drink again of this wine until I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." Some Messianic Jewish scholars believe that this cup may refer to the Zahayid, which was a special glass of wine prepared for Passover. When Jesus said He would not drink this cup until He drinks it with all of the redeemed in the church in the future, He implied in His statement that He would be celebrating Passover in the kingdom to come. I believe that it will be the wedding supper of the Lamb that He was referring to, which again, like the Lord's Supper, comes out of and is derivative of the Passover meal. It thus behooves us as the church to study this feast, observe it as well if we should choose, so that we will be ready when the Lord comes to drink the cup He said He would drink with us. Indeed, we are informed in Leviticus 23 that the Passover and other feasts of Israel are described as statutes forever. So Passover is a permanent celebration that will continue on in the millennial kingdom of Messiah. A fourth reason why you and I need to study and know about Passover is that we can use such knowledge about the Passover celebration as a powerful gospel witness to your Jewish friend or neighbor. If you can show them how the life and death of Yeshua corresponds and fulfills the Passover celebration, it will be of great interest and intrigue to them. I can remember this particularly when I was in Israel on one of my gospel outreaches to the Jewish people there. I was invited by a Jewish family to celebrate Passover with them. And the wife of the host turned to me at the midpoint of the celebration and asked me what Passover means to me. Well, that was the Holy Spirit used that as an open invitation to share with her how the Passover lamb is a type of the suffering and dying Messiah who, like the lamb in Egypt, died to set us free from the bondage of evil, death, and sin. Needless to say, she was very interested by that and asked me to share such an insight, a messianic insight, with all of those congregated there. And they listened with interest. Had I not known how Yeshua fulfilled the Jewish Passover, I could have not been able to then give them a witness about Yeshua fulfilling the Passover. So we need to know how He indeed does this, that we can then share this as a gospel witness to the Jewish people. When we study Passover, there are actually three elements to it that incorporate three feasts. There is first, of course, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. Passover is dealt with in several places in the Old Testament. Of course, we've looked at Leviticus 23, where it is briefly mentioned in its calendrical order to be celebrated by Israel. It's also found in Exodus 21 through 29, chapters 21 through 29, Numbers 33:3, Deuteronomy 16:1-6. Then in the New Testament, where the Passover feast finds its fulfillment in the Lord's Supper and the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find this mentioned in Matthew 26, verses 1 and 2, Mark 14 and 15, that is Mark chapters 14 and 15, Luke chapters 22 and 23, John chapters 18 through 19, and Hebrews 11, 28. When you study the Passover and you correlate it with the sufferings and death of the Messiah, you will quickly see that Jesus' life was like the Passover lamb. And this is made most evident by a study of Exodus 12, which we will get into shortly. But before them, the gospel writers and the apostles clearly understood that Passover typified the atoning death of the Messiah. John the Baptist certainly was the first on record to recognize that when from the banks of the Jordan River he saw Yeshua. And he said of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John's had a greater understanding that this Lamb would not be confined just to the nation of Israel, as it was for the most part in Egypt when the first Passover was observed. No, he saw that this Lamb was not only for the salvation of Israel, but was universal. He was for the whole world. The Apostle Paul mentions how Messiah Jesus was our Passover when he says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So they knew that in the feast of Passover, the Messiah was revealed. His death for the salvation and liberation of man was foretold and fulfilled. Now let's look at the historical setting of Passover when it was first observed in Egypt. When the time came for the deliverance of the nation of Israel out of Egypt, God gave very specific instructions to Moses concerning the means of their deliverance. Their deliverance hinged on sacrificing a lamb, shedding its blood, and taking that blood and applying it on their houses, so that when the angel of death came into Egypt to slay all the firstborn, those who had the blood applied to the doorposts and lintels of their house were spared that judgment of death. The leaders of each household were to take a lamb, a male lamb, of the first year, and on the 10th day of Nisan, which would be the first month in Israel's religious calendar, they were to take that lamb, and then on the evening of the 14th day of the month, the day of Nisan, the lamb was to be slain and its blood liberally sprinkled on the lintels and the two side posts of the door. Once this was done, then the lamb was to be taken and roasted and eaten by all those in the household. It was to be eaten with bitter herbs and unleavened bread, matzah. God told them they were to quickly eat it and be dressed with sandals on their feet to leave Egypt at the midnight hour. And at midnight, the angel of death would pass through the land of Egypt, and every house that did not have the sign of the lamb's blood sprinkled and applied on the door would suffer judgment. This judgment was the death of the firstborn of both man and beast. God said in Exodus 12:12, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And this is where we get the word Passover from. It was in reference to the fact that God would pass over the house that had the lamb's blood on the door and not strike them down in judgment. The Hebrew word for Passover, as a matter of fact, is Pesach. And when you go to Israel today, that is the term they will use in reference to the celebration of Passover. The word literally means to pass over. And this is what God would do. God would pass over and spare those from judgment who had the blood of the lamb applied on the outside of the door of their house. After this historic and miraculous event occurred, Yahweh God told the Israelites they were to celebrate this feast yearly on the 14th day of Nisan, and to explain to their children what the whole service meant in its original setting. So like the Lord's Supper, Passover was a memorial, looking back and celebrating on what God did to deliver the nation of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. Just as the Lord's Supper, which is the New Testament fulfillment of Pesach, commemorates and is a remembrance of what Yeshua did when He redeemed us from death, sin, and the grave, when He shed His blood on the cross for our salvation as God's final Passover Lamb. Now let's talk about Christ, our Passover Lamb, as revealed, as prophetically revealed through the type of the Passover Lamb in Exodus 12. Exodus 12, Christ, our Passover Lamb. In this chapter, Exodus 12 is one of the most important, one of the most important chapters in the Bible for the simple fact that is where God instituted the Passover Lamb for Israel and at the same time established one of the most prominent types in the Bible that prefigure the Messiah in His atoning death on the cross. The Passover is, without question, the epical event in Jewish history, a Jewish celebration observed every year that has lasted some 3,500 years virtually, making it the oldest holiday celebrated in the world. The Passover was the signal event that brought deliverance for Israel out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. God instructed the Israelites on that first Passover night to slay a lamb and to sprinkle the blood of it upon the doorposts and lintels of their houses, so that when the Lord passed through the land of Egypt to strike down the firstborn of Egypt, Israel and their firstborn would be spared. They would be spared and saved from the destruction that was coming because of the shed blood of the Lamb. The Passover Lamb and the shedding of its blood was the crucial thing for Israel's redemption from Egypt and points to a greater reality in the very qualifications and specifications God required for Israel to use. Indeed, what God ordained here in the qualifications and stipulations for sacrificing the Passover Lamb beautifully typify and find detailed fulfillment in the person and death of Jesus the Messiah as God's final Passover Lamb. The forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, astutely understood the paschal significance and messianic type and made the prophetic application of the Passover Lamb of Exodus 12 to Jesus when he prophetically declared of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29. Before delving into this study of Exodus 12 any further, it behooves us to first define what we mean by a type. I defined it earlier in a general way, but let me give you a more specific type, a definition of a type. And the reason why is because the Bible is filled with symbols and types that foreshadow prophetic events and persons to come. The Passover is no different. A type in Scripture is used to prefigure or symbolize an event or person yet to happen in the future. A type is thus predictive in nature and prophetic in its primary use in the Bible. Every type is therefore a divinely ordained correspondence. It holds a divinely ordained correspondence between a person, event, or institution that serves as a prophetic disclosure about the future. The large body of types found in the Bible are messianic. They point to a particular aspect of His person, life, and accomplishments that were foretold either in the first coming or the second coming. Therefore, since the whole of Scripture is the mirror of Messiah, we should expect to see the reflection of His image all throughout the pages of Holy Writ. Now, for every prophetic type in the Bible, we have what is called the antitype, which fulfills the type. The antitype is the fulfillment by that thing or person represented or foreshadowed by the earlier type. So, the Passover lamb of Exodus 12, as a type, clearly points ahead to the antitype, Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb slain for us. As one author wrote, God told Israel to do typically with the Passover lamb what He would fulfill actually with the true lamb. The Apostle Paul, as we've stated earlier, understood this type all too well when writing in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. And then later on in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul will allude again to how the risen Messiah, Yeshua, when He rose from the dead, how that event fulfilled the Feast of First Fruits, which followed several days after the Feast of Passover. The Passover lamb, as a type, not only points ahead to Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, slain and sacrificed for our sins, but also points back to the foreordained and predestined fact of God's plan before the world began, that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Lamb of God, would be slain for humanity's sins. Over and over again in the New Testament we read that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world actually means before the world began. And thus, from an eternal perspective, God determined in eternity past, before time began and the cosmos was created, that Jesus Christ should die for the sins of man. It was decreed and decided upon within the eternal counsels of the triune Godhead that God the Son would be man's perfect Passover lamb. In doing so, the Lord gave advance witness and prophetic type of this blessed reality by revealing through the Passover lamb of Exodus 12 the crucified and atoning Messiah to come. In His person and death, Yeshua, Jesus, fulfilled the prophetic picture and type of the Passover lamb in Exodus 12 in every detail and aspect associated with it. In our next teaching, we will closely examine the manner, qualities, and characteristics God gave in association with this Passover lamb in the Old Testament and how they are beautifully and precisely fulfilled in God's final Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, revealed in the New Testament. Until then, Shalom Aleichem, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.